from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and it is Saturday, October 6th. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com, and you can call us direct, 773-591-1690, and you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is America's Heroes Group, and, of course, is proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275, and the office is 312-781-1977. Also proudly sponsored by the AARP Foundation, 222 North LaSalle Street, Suite 760. Chicago, Illinois. The office is at the number is 312-660-8662. Also proudly sponsored by Pearl's Place Down Home Southern Cooking, 3901 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. The phone number is 877-275-5852. And a great buffet that we go to on Saturday.
Every last Saturday, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great place, great food. Don't call me then because my mouth is full. Okay. Also, we're always pleased to have our roundtable panelists. I'm, of course, an honored to be the host. Glenda Smith is our executive producer. How are you, Glenda?
I'm blessed. How are you, good. Governor of Talk Radio?
Sean Claiborne is our assistant producer. How are you, Sean?
Very well, very well.
Good. Rochelle Crump is with us. Hi.
Hi.
And also, of course, attorney Ernesto Borges.
Bill Buster.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Consular, how are you?
Great. Good afternoon.
Before we start off, I just want you... Well, it's been a... Let me say this first. Very busy day for WVON. This was the Family Care Expo, which went extremely well in Malcolm X College. I broadcast live from there at 10 o'clock this morning. Chet Daddy followed me, and you just heard, of course, Mark Wallace. He just finished. He was there earlier, of course, over at Malcolm X. But great turnout, lots of good good things going on there, so I want to mention that. And then the other thing before we get into it, I'm holding in my hand. Can anybody see what that says?
The annual Laquan Day.
We've had this for a number of years, and of course, yesterday can't leave that out.
No.
What happened with
which and bravo to all of the jury members because they were fair.
Yep. So I just want to mention that. And one other thing we need to mention is the birthday of
Reverend Jesse Jackson.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Reverend Jackson, from America's Heroes Group.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to get into some news items. The U.S. Navy is proposing major show of force to warn China. We have a clip on that.
The South China Sea is one of the busiest and most militarized shipping routes in the world. Experts also believe a wealth of oil and gas is lying below the area's surface. China claims almost all of this body of water for itself, ignoring competing claims from countries like the Philippines and Vietnam. To complicate things further, Brunei, Malaysia, and the island of Taiwan also have territorial claims. To legitimize its claims, China has built up artificial islands in the Spratly chain. Take Fiery Cross Reef, for example. In 2015, CNN flew with the U.S. Navy over Fiery Cross Reef, which was already a man-made island. And this is what it looks like today. Airstrips, radar towers, four- and five-story concrete buildings. Lieutenant Lauren Callan is the commander of the U.S. Navy who flies over the South China Sea.
It was very surprising to see just essentially airports out in the middle of the ocean.
Much of China's territorial claims are based on something called the Nine-Dash Line, which is used by Beijing to mark out what it sees as Chinese territory. The Nine-Dash Line takes in nearly all of the South China Sea, an area the size of Mexico. Historically, the Nine-Dash Line has caused a lot of tension, so much so that when the Philippines took China to the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague back in 2016, the court rejected most of Beijing's claims over the South China Sea, finding them illegal. But there's no real way to enforce the court's ruling, so China has refused to abide by it, instead continuing to build up artificial islands to reinforce its claims of sovereignty.
They've militarized these new artificial islands, so they've built airstrips, they've put missile systems on there, they've put radar jamming stations, they've put radar installations, and so all of that taken in totality over the last several years has really caused tensions to rise.
This is where the U.S. comes into the dispute. For the past year, it has stepped up its naval operations in the South China Sea, sailing within miles of China's artificial islands, showing its commitment to maintaining freedom of navigation. It also monitors developments from above, regularly flying over the South China Sea in Navy reconnaissance planes. This has created tense standoffs between the U.S. and China, like this warning the crew received while CNN was flying with them.
U.S. military aircraft, Papa 8 Alpha. This is Chinese Yunshu Reef. China had sovereignty of the Nine-Dash Islands, including Yunshu Reef and its adjacent waters. Leave immediately and keep far off so as to avoid any misstanding.
I'm a sovereign of the United States naval aircraft conducting lawful military activities beyond the national airspace of any coastal state. In exercising these rights as guaranteed by international law, I am operating with due regard for the rights and duties of all states.
Time may be running out to effectively challenge China's claims in the South China Sea, though. Admiral Philip Davidson, the new head of the U.S. Pacific Command, told senators during a confirmation hearing in April that China is now capable of controlling the South China Sea in all scenarios short of war with the United States.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a serious problem. Mm-hmm. Sean, you want to?
Yeah, and then this is a response too as well that you know the U.S. is doing these naval exercises. At the earlier part of August, China also did its own military exercise, which was the largest they had ever done in history. mainly to, you know, and this, the thing that you have to really back up and look at is the fact this really comes to trade routes.
Yep.
So when you start looking at the trade routes, particularly into Africa, because China is mostly a landlocked nation, their future depends on their access to the seas. And with the current atmosphere that we have around the world, our administration is basically taking an isolationist approach and trying to use its, you know, this idea of tariffs and things against China. It becomes more and more important for China to look at Africa and South America as ways to get revenue into their country.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested a lot of money in Africa. I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars doing infrastructure and things like that. People don't realize, but very important strategic military posts, which weren't military posts originally, but talking about canals and seaports in Africa, are now owned by China.
Yeah. Ernesto?
Well, the other thing, of course, is oil.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of offshore drilling that's done. And obviously, there's a lot of oil down there in that that seabed. I mean, I've been swimming in the South China Sea when I was in Vietnam, but and it's a lovely place. But there's a lot of oil down there, and I think that that's one of their concerns. They want to be able to put their oil rigs there. They want to prevent anyone else from putting oil rigs there because that's the big money there. And I think that's one of their concerns. Of course, by building these islands, these fake islands or whatever you want to call them, man-made islands, they're going to say that their territorial boundaries have been expanded simply by the creation of these islands, and they're going to put their oil rigs there.
Mm-hmm. You didn't buy any land. You didn't buy any land.
If he did, you think he's going to tell you?
I just went swimming there.
Okay.
South China Sea.
Hey, listen,
yeah.
I know you. that sounds like Rochelle. Yeah.
Well, I'm just concerned about the show of force. You know, what kind of impact is that going to be on our military strength when, you know, the outcome actually happens?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're just not going to sit idle.
Right.
So,
No.
You look at that for the future.
Yeah. And it's very concerning to me. I think, like, we've talked about this in the past and a lot of other conflicts. Since World War II, there's been very few conflicts that are really truly in our national defense interest. You know, when we think about what we did in Vietnam, when we think about what we're doing in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's very hard to veil national defense when you have all these economic interests that are really piercing through the veil, so to speak. You know, so, you know, it's interesting to see if anything, any type of armed conflict does come about this in the future, whether it's 20 years in the future or whatever, what's going to be the excuse for this conflict other than money?
Well, you know, and I bring up oil. I don't know if you remember the movie 3 Days of the Condor.
Yeah.
And at the very end, they said, it's all about oil.
That's right.
I remember that line
and
from that was years ago.
Before. Yeah.
You know, we are showing that force, though. You know, we got our amphibious forces in NATO. The 29 nations of NATO are showing their force in this. It's called Trident Juncture, I guess. And all of the, I guess, 40,000 troops are going to participate, 150 aircraft, 70 warships. All that's going to be happening over there in Norway, Sweden, Finland, and that's getting ready to happen, what, next week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a sure force for us, of course, in a different area of the world.
Right.
But we may do something in the South China Sea also to show our force and our abilities.
Very good. We got to watch it, that's for sure. The next thing I want, we get a NBC Boston clip about a housing project for homeless veterans that's opening in Maine. Let's hear that.
There are thousands of homeless veterans across the country, many at risk for suicide. In Maine, a groundbreaking housing project is helping some of those at-risk veterans get back on their feet by giving them a new home. Our Danielle Waugh has more.
That's the living area. All this furniture came with it.
For Army veteran Tim Buckmore,
cupboards.
This is more than a home.
You're hungry? Come visit.
It's a fresh start, a new lease on life.
You know, I never thought I'd be in a place like this.
He's one of 21 formerly homeless veterans.
Hey, neighbor.
Hey.
Now living in a community called Cabin in the Woods.
And we really want to create a sense of community with them so that they can be supported together.
The group Volunteers of America started construction on this truly groundbreaking idea 1 year ago.
We have veterans coming into this program that have been sleeping actually outside for months, people that have been staying in shelters for long periods of time.
Located next to Togus VA Hospital, this subsidized housing project is believed to be the first of its kind. Here, the veterans live near the VA, but they're also tucked away in the woods. It has the convenience of being close to their appointments, but also the calming effects of being in nature.
It's quiet, it's peaceful, like serene.
3 weeks after moving in, Buckmore finds himself in a much better place.
You put your mind to ease in knowing that you got a place for as long as you need.
In the last 3 years, he's moved from shelter to shelter, even staying at the VA's psychiatric ward due to suicidal thoughts. As he recovers from two recent strokes, this veteran says the hope that comes from a new home may have saved his life.
Something like this prevented one veteran from committing suicide. Someplace like this would be awesome.
In Augusta, Maine, Danielle Wall.
That's very interesting because we've had so many homeless veterans. But I'm thinking about the safety situation there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't know whether there are any female veterans that are homeless that would be safe there. What do you think about that, Rochelle?
Well,
that's a problem, isn't it?
It is a problem, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an ongoing problem because mm-hmm. it seems like I don't care how much resources we put into the system, it just does not seem to fill the gaps that are most critical. And we kind of alluded to that when we ended the show last week. But, you know, when you look at women have a different stance on being homeless than men.
Sure.
They're more resourceful. That's one thing. Men will sleep anywhere. Mm-hmm. Women are going to be a little bit more cautious about, you know, their surroundings, and they're going to try to surround themselves in a more safe way mm-hmm. than men. But that gap to fill the holes of what we can do with this money, what we can't do with that money, it's just not meeting the need. And that's what we need to look at and stop looking at pretty much how much money we're putting out there. Are we really meeting the need? And the answer to that is no.
Glenda?
I concur with Rochelle. That's when she is a partner and a panelist now, because she can bring that perspective veteran woman voice that we haven't heard. And so we know for sure that of the ones that have registered as homeless is 61,000 across the country. So if
you mean homeless veterans.
Homeless veterans, yeah, across the country, 61,000 on mm-hmm. an average night.
Of course, now for Illinois, they can reduce the number.
What? Oh, okay. Well, we have America's Heroes Group show, because we're going to have reduce that number.
Reduce the number because the home was killing veterans.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm okay. Quite sure it's going to make a difference.
But how many women? You said six.
The governor talk radio.
Is that true?
Well, they're fixing it. They're in the process.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, one day at a time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many? I was just wondering how many. You said 61,000 homeless vets per night.
Per night,
and that's all veterans.
That's not all. Those are the ones that
homeless
are being recognized.
Recognized.
Yes. Yeah.
So there may be others.
Quite sure.
And what about women? How much? What's the percentage of women out of that?
Of that number, I really don't have a breakdown, but we will in terms of doing mm-hmm. further research on that, Rochelle and I. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. There's some studies that show that women are about twice as likely to be homeless than or have even issues from PTSD or things like that than men are. Still, because of the fact that the majority of the force is male, of course, you know, the overwhelming majority is men. My biggest concern, though, is the fact that from dealing with a lot of homeless people and having friends that are homeless right now is the issue of mental illness. And also when you give somebody a resource, are they able to handle the resource? And how do you get somebody off the street who really has at their fingertips some resources they can take advantage of, but because of a mental illness, they cannot grasp it?
One good thing about this, I thought they were good, in the proximity to the VA hospital.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
But I still don't know what kind of protection they have. You know, that's...
I'm curious. When we talk about homeless veterans, it seems as if so many of them have psychological problems and mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
Are they getting benefits? I mean, do we have any study on that? How many of them are getting benefits or squandering the benefits or not taking advantage of the benefits?
That's part of the problem,
I don't.
Though.
Yeah.
the loan delays in veterans receiving their benefits.
Yeah.
You know, they may have just at one point in time been at risk. Mm-hmm. And then because they did not receive their benefits, and, you know, it just kind of goes from one point to the next point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are they, you know, I never took any effort to get any benefits until recently, actually, since mm-hmm. I started this show.
Right.
And I got 80% after 6-7 months. But are some of these veterans in need of help as to how to get their the benefits? I had someone.
Veterans cannot live off of 10%, 20%,
yeah.
or 30% of disability.
No, no,
and
that's not enough money. Yeah.
So
some of them are getting money, but not enough to,
yeah,
I see,
to
yeah.
sustain themselves.
To sustain themselves.
But the way this sounded, yeah. folks, it sounded like they were on bivouac or something. You know?
Right. Yeah, right.
They were talking about, you know what I mean? It sounded like that this is something yeah. that they enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
And then,
some
you know, the
do.
HUD-VASH voucher yeah. came along, and that's helpful, but then that only goes so far as well, because they can only do so much with the HUD-VASH voucher.
Mm-hmm.
voucher. Mm-hmm. Because then we still have, when they come in with the services, and I think I said this last week, is they have a lot of SFs, the Supportive Services, Veterans Families Fund out there, a lot of money out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't make sense in certain ways. They could buy a bed, but they can't buy sheets. They can't buy towels, you know, those type of
yeah,
things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when, right. that's what I mean when I say, are you meeting the mm-hmm. need? The answer is no, because it's no in between.
Mm-hmm.
To me, either you're meeting it or you're not meeting it, because yeah. we have to do better in those instances.
Well, they, unfortunately, they are out of the range of Jesse Brown VA.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But those gentlemen that sound happy, I guess anyone will be happy to move from the street to a bed of
right.
consistency
mm-hmm.
of a where you're not being transitioned from place to place to place.
Right.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. they sound grateful.
Mm-hmm.
But collectively, I think more needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they are doing a lot. You
yeah.
know, I don't want to downplay that part, and I don't want to downplay
sure.
the good efforts that they have made
absolutely.
To make it right.
Absolutely.
But we just still have a lot of work to
a
do.
A lot of work to do from local states,
exactly.
local city state.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's different from one place to the other.
Absolutely.
We certainly
yeah.
know that. It's different right here in this state. We know that, too. Our number is 773-591-1690. If you want to give us a call, we'd be happy to hear from you. This is America's Heroes Group, and we shall be back with more in just a moment.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, Law.net.
Hi, I'm O.S. Owen, the volunteer recruiter for the AARP Foundation Experience Corps. AARP Foundation is proud to partner and sponsor America's Heroes Group. Hey, Cliff, veterans matter, and they're one of the great pillars of our communities across this great country.
As a veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, I totally endorse AARP Foundation Experience Corps volunteer in guiding the next generation of readers.
We both agree veterans would make great volunteers for our children.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group.
Hi, I'm Chuck Bourne, veteran and advisory board member of America's Heroes Group. Veterans, family members, and community.
Please join America's Heroes Group every last Saturday of the month for a buffet dinner at Pearl's Place, starting at 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m.
We can't think of a better place to eat on Saturday than Pearl's Place.
WVON.com. The website.
Check it out.
Good afternoon. It is 4:32 on America's Heroes Group, and I am Cliff Kelly, and we've got some changes in the seats here, so we've got some different folks we're going to be talking to, and we are so pleased to have him back with us, of course, America's Heroes Group partner, Jesse Brown, VA Director Mark McGill. How are you? How you doing?
Hey, great, Cliff.
Good to see you.
Good to be back.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you. I just say that these folks we were talking about earlier in Maine, it's just too bad they couldn't come to your facility. Did you hear about them?
I sure did. Yeah. We would have taken care of them.
I know you would have.
Yeah.
I know, absolutely. Tracy Emanuel is with us, Supervisory Social Worker for Jesse Brown VA Homeless Program, Community Resource and Referral Center. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Good. It's a pleasure to have you. And we also, of course, still have America Heroes Group partner panelist Rochelle Crump, because this is what she's involved in with the women.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And Tracy, tell us what you're going to do, and you're going to introduce Mike for us also.
Yes, yeah. So I'm just here to talk to you guys about some of the services we have at Jesse Brown. We're able to get out onto the streets with some of our outreach teams and really reach the veterans who are experiencing homelessness, who are at risk of homelessness, so we can meet them where they're at and provide some of the wonderful services that Jesse Brown has. This gives us the opportunity to meet them where they're at, too. Not everybody wants to come into the hospital. Some people historically have had bad experiences or they're fearful of the hospital. So we have developed a really great team at Jesse Brown who can meet them in the coffee shops, who can meet them on the park bench, so that we're able to build that rapport and trust with them, so that we're able to connect them to services on their own terms when they're ready for it, without any preconceived plan for them to have to engage in things.
So but I got to interrupt you just for a moment. That is great, because there are so many people, I don't want to go to the hospital, you know what I mean? I mean, I do, but I don't. But for people who are really having problems, obviously they're having problems already. And, you know, with folks' suicide rates and PTSD and all of that, I just think it's a great thing. Pardon me for interrupting you, but even thinking about, you know, meet somebody on a park bench or at a coffee shop, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, people don't want to go to the hospital. When you go to the hospital, sometimes you get diagnosed with something and you have fear of getting diagnosed with something. Or if you're not having a place to sleep, then you don't want to present to a doctor's office if you're not clean or you don't feel good about yourself. So to be able to have somebody come to your home, come to where you're staying as one of our homeless neighbors and provide that service is to show you that you're a person who matters, a person who has dignity, where we can come to you. I feel like we're really able to make a difference and to help build that rapport to people. And we're able to help them get to the hospital, because sometimes they don't have the transportation to get to the hospital. Sometimes they don't have food in their stomach in order to feel comfortable getting to that doctor's appointment, where they might have to sit there for a little bit and answer questions. So we have people like Mike who are able to go with them to the hospital, who are able to say, hey, I'm going to sit with you in this. I'm going to talk to you through it. If you have some concerns, let us know. So Mike is here with us today, who's one of our wonderful peer support specialists, who also has some lived experiences himself, who's really able to get with veterans and say, hey, here's what I can do for you. And I'll let him kind of take over and tell you what that is as well.
Thank you for being here, Mike.
Hey, you're welcome. Good. It's an honor to be here.
Good.
All right. So as Tracy said, I am a peer support specialist now. Before that, I'd experienced over 20 years of addiction, active addiction, and 10 years of homelessness. So my experience has been absolutely miraculous and outstanding and life-changing. So I experienced, my first experience was the Grand Padding program. Somebody asked me, is everything okay? I never forget those words. And I shared some of my experience with her. And next thing I know, I got on this journey to healing. And from head to toe, the staff that I was working with, HPAC, which is our homeless patient aligned care team, also with the HUVAS case management team, and then all the staff in Jesse Brown, I was able to tell my truth and not be ashamed. And that was a relief.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2011.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I went from homelessness to employed. So now
that's great.
Yeah, at Jesse Brown, in a position, firmly placed in a position where I could meet the veteran where he is or she is. And
you're a veteran from what? What?
The Persian Gulf War era.
Persian, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. So I was wondering. And you were addicted, and you had an addiction, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay.
I had an addiction, I had shame, I had some guilt, I had mm-hmm. a situation that I kept covering up, mm-hmm. myself medicating.
Mm-hmm.
I had some stuff.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was ashamed, so I didn't want to tell nobody about none of that
mm-hmm.
until I got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to Jesse Brown.
So how did this happen? How did you get together with Jesse Brown? I mean, obviously, this is a great story. Yeah.
So it really is a miraculous story. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know nothing about, you know, the services at Jesse Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousin, he's a veteran also, United States Air Force veteran, just like I am. He told me about the services at Jesse Brown. He said, I was at Salvation Army. And okay. He said, you don't need to be there. You can go down to Jesse Brown,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be able to help you out and assist you, man. So So I came on down. And from the time I walked in that door, I was on a mission to heal. I was on a mission to do whatever was necessary to be the man that I was created to be. That was my mission.
Great, you know? Great, great.
Yeah.
And so it went from there.
And it went from there.
Yeah, that's great. Anything else on that, Tracy? I know you've helped a whole lot of people, but this is a great example, though. Not only that, he got a job.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
right.
That, yeah.
Sense of purpose, getting out of bed in the morning and going to work is something that all of us can benefit for.
And doing something that he certainly knows about.
Right.
And have a passion for. So,
and yeah.
Yeah, so it is near and dear to my heart. I mean, I love coming to work. And meet with my fellow veterans, you know.
And what exactly is your title?
Peer support.
Peer support. Oh, yes, good. Yes, and what do you do?
So I give hope.
Okay.
Inspiration.
Wow.
And encouragement.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I support and advocate
mm-hmm.
for the veteran for the most part. That's mm-hmm. basically the job description. But as a human being, it's really a sense of purpose. So when somebody get it, when somebody get in line, somebody mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. finally partake of the services and be patient enough to go through.
When you talk to people, Mike, do you ever tell them what your background
is?
Oh,
most definitely. That's the best part of being a peer support.
Yeah.
I can share mm-hmm. my experience
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm. And,
yep.
And that gives them even more hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great because you can tell them what you went through and where you are now.
Absolutely. And they'll stick by my side until they get where they need to be.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it's a lot of success stories rocking around Jesse Brown.
Yeah, I know that. Tracy, I'm sure you're very happy about what this program is doing, the CRRC, that's Resources and Referral Center, Community Resources and Referral Center. Yeah,
so I'm really excited about it. So the CRRC is an opportunity for us to have a one-stop shop for veterans. It's an opportunity for someone who's experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness mm-hmm. to have a safe place to come, to have a safe place to tell their story, and to get connected to services at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a variety of community providers that are there on site who provide employment services, who provide connections to veterans' benefit services, who can help them get connected to mental health care at the VA or not at the VA so that we can make sure that we can meet veterans where they're at. We have a powerful team there who really care about veterans, who really care about making sure that they help them get on the path that they want to be on, which I think is really important because oftentimes people think they know what's best for someone else. Sure. So at the CRC, we really have a staff that wants to take time to say, what is it that you want? What is it that you're looking for? What path do you want to take? Which really allows people to come as they are. So if they have active addiction issues, if they have mental health issues that are untreated, it's okay. It's okay. And it's okay to not want to change those too, because we're here to walk the path with you. And if you're ready for change, we're here to help you. And if we're not, we're still ready to help you. We're ready to help you meet your basic needs of getting access to clothing, access to food.
That's great. That's great, Tracy. Yeah. I got to mention this, and Rochelle is probably thinking of it. I want to know how many women are involved to need these services.
So I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but we probably have, I would say, if I had a guess, and I'll be honest, it's taken a guess, probably like one woman to 10 males that come in our doors. You know, we have about 75 beds at one of the shelters that we utilize, and we probably have about 4 or 5 women on our roster at a time, where we have about 65 to 70 males, but we're really able to get those females connected to services too.
That was my point. I know that you just want to make sure, right, Rochelle?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And we encourage them from the National Women Veterans also. You know, we opened the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois, and that's one of the things that we do as well also. And the peer support, we kind of encourage them along the way because we have a women of all branches of service who have those like experiences as well, military sexual trauma, you know, PTSD, head trauma, the whole nine yards of that. And it works, you know, the peer support does work. And building that trust and relationship with women to encourage them to go back to the VA, because some of them have been like traumatized by even going to the VA, you know, it's just going initially trying to get through the door and being welcomed in a way in which they did not receive that some time ago. And so now they're basically feeling a little bit better about going in and understanding the process that it takes time. You know, it's not something that happens overnight. And sometimes you're not always going to meet the right person when you first go in there. So you have to stick with it. You know, you have to allow yourself to meet with some of those individuals, like the women's program manager, who's wonderful. You know, she's very open to going above and beyond, you know, the call of her duty. And so we've been able to successfully get women placed that way as well. You know, and I told you about that story last week.
Right.
And I'm still working on that case because we're back to where we are now. That female is still sleeping in her car.
Wow. Yeah, keep working on that. Let's take a caller. Minister Plump is calling. Hi, Minister Plump. You're on WVON, America's Heroes Group.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Cliff, how you doing today?
I'm fine, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, I'd like to just mention that I'm a part of the Vietnam veterans and also American Legion Post 1987, Hal Washington. And we just like to share the thought that the struggle and the movement and the coalitions continues. And we got a movie coming out on Mayor Washington. And I would like for those veteran women to give us the telephone number that they can be reached at, and also just to share with you that we are at the Swift Mansion, which is the Harold Washington American Legion Post 1987.
Okay, I know.
We're there every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
And I'd like for you all to be my guest because we have Plump TV Showcase, and we're doing it exclusively on the veterans, especially, and Laquan McDonald.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Tracy, will you want to give out a number and people can call?
Sure. So if anybody is in the city of Chicago and wants to get connected to the CRC, they can reach us directly at 312-569-5750, and that'll get them to the front desk person at the CRC so that they can get directly connected to a social worker. And then if somebody is experiencing homelessness anywhere in the country, they can call our hotline that will get them connected to the nearest VA, which is 877-424-3838. Okay. That's 877-424-3838. 4-8-VET.
Dial 4-8-VET. That's great. Okay. Very good. Let's go to another caller for our group. Robert is calling. Hey, Robert, you're on WVON, America's Heroes Group.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Cliff.
Sure, Robert. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that everyone mentioned the PTSD and other issues, health issues, but dioxins, which everyone labels as Agent Orange.
Yeah.
There were seven different agents they used and produced by 11 different companies. And then veterans, the Vietnam veterans who were there exposed to this, passing away at a rate of, it was 3,600 per day. And now we're at a point now where it's like they've forgotten about there, and there's no longer any attention. And I know the VA, like the Supreme Court, has some undesirables within its system. And some of them have been weeded out or retired. And Jesse Brown, for example, had several there who are now retired who were undermining veterans by tabling or around filing their claims until they passed away. So until we can get some of this cleared up, and these veterans, many of these veterans organizations out here are perpetrating. They proclaim that they're assisting veterans, but they're not.
Well, I think, Robert, if you've been listening, you know what Jesse Brown VA has been doing. They've been proved tremendously under the director who is right here today.
Mark McGill.
Yes.
Yeah, communicated with him directly, yes.
That's great. And, of course, one of our panelists who has been displaced today because we've got so many people, he was here earlier, was Attorney Ernesto Borges, who is a Vietnam vet, and he didn't even know what he could get, and he's gotten all kinds of things now because he didn't even know he could get it, but it was through the VA and Mark and all that. He's really feeling good now. So, but
many today still don't know what they can get,
and that's why we have. You know, we can't go door to door. That's why we have this show. You're right.
That's why you're there. Yep. Cliff.
Uh-huh. Yep. Robert, you're right on point, and that's why we have this show. We want people to know that. VA is doing a great job, and of course Mark McGill has partnered with us, and we want, if people don't know what's available, they certainly can't take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. You're totally correct. Yeah, that whole thing with Agent Orange was unbelievable, Mark. So what else do we need to know, Director McGill?
Well, on this particular subject today, mm-hmm. this is so important because we have heroes that go to serve their country, mm-hmm. and they come back, and for whatever reason, they may not have access to just some basic needs that we all need, food, shelter, and I am so proud of a system that has taken on this issue and has made a goal to eliminate veterans' homelessness and to mm-hmm. treat the whole veteran. And mm-hmm. when I hear stories like yours, sir, the fact now that you're working for our organization, mm-hmm. you're helping
great.
Our veterans mm-hmm. with respect and dignity and honor, doesn't get any better than that.
Well, see, this is the thing that has changed. And that's a good example, Mark. That with we've heard all kinds of things. Things have changed without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt, really. I know people who didn't have anything good to say about Jesse Brown. Now they've totally done a 180-degree change, which is a great thing. But the homelessness situation, when Tracy told us the story about this gentleman, I had no idea. this is just a great thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike. So it does. It gives you a whole new sense of purpose.
Yeah, and people that you talk to can see it. And you,
I got pictures, so I don't, I give them a
show what you were, right?
So it won't be no misunderstanding. I'm you and you me, so.
Yeah. That's crazy, yeah. But that's the big change that's been made there. And I just think that's great. That's why I'm sure Tracy Emanuel is doing what she's doing and bringing that. How many people? You I'm sure you have a big backlog.
Yeah, so so we work with the community, right? Like we, a VA is not going to end homelessness by ourselves. So we take pride and joy in partnering with our community providers. So we are working with our community providers on what's called a by name list. So our goal in the city of Chicago is to make sure we know every veteran by name, that we know what their concerns are, so that we can help prioritizing getting people into homelessness and so getting people out of homelessness into housing.
Right.
And so right now the city of Chicago averages about 650 to 700 veterans experiencing homelessness. Now, all of those veterans aren't currently living on the streets. They're in our grant per diem programs. They're in our residential community shelter programs. They're working with our supportive services for veterans family programs. So we're really making sure that we get them in the right programs. And so one of our other goals is to make sure that people don't have to kind of hop from place to place to place. So we work with a coordinated entry system so that we can try to eliminate people feeling like they got to figure the system out and they need to know where to go, so that we work as a community to say, hey, Michael, you know, here's what the needs you're presenting. Let me show you what services we have available. Here's where we think might be the best fit for you. Mm-hmm. So we can help people try to get to the right place the first time versus having to jump from shelter program to shelter program and then to get into housing. We also want to make sure that the end goal of housing starts at the beginning and that we don't have barriers around them. So we don't want people to have to jump through 10 hoops to be qualified for housing. We want to get people into that safe place and then wrap services around them so that they have the opportunity to be successful.
Right. That's great. And well, one of the things that a lot of people don't know, and that's why we're so pleased to be, of course, involved with Director McGill, there are people living on the street that don't even know all of these things exist. When you're talking about what you were just mentioning, shelter here, that, they don't even know that. And so we try our best to get out as much information, which is the whole purpose of America's Heroes Group, because they've got so many soldiers, well, veterans, rather, out there. And that's why we're so pleased to have Rochelle with us too, because we know that there's women out there that don't know the events, and you know.
And let me just play the devil's advocate right quick. You know, and I really appreciate what the VA does. Being a veteran myself, you know, utilizing the services from time to time. But what do you do when you have a veteran, and I'm going to say a female veteran because it makes it a little bit more personal for me, and that female veteran is service-connected, and she's sleeping in her car. She's been through the VA system. She has a HUD-VASH voucher. She has not yet found an apartment that's in the works, but we've already put them, you know, utilized some of our resources financially. We've utilized the financial services from other agencies, but now we're at that point again where we're out of those resources. And you have a female who has almost like a child. You know how the female may have a male child, but the child can't go in the shelter, so the dog can't go in the shelter either. So she's not going to leave her pet because that's like her child, okay? Where do you go from there?
I think that's where we need to reach out further
yeah.
with our community partners, because we do have mm-hmm. some awesome community partners, mm-hmm. and we need to find a way to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yes, it is. And those are some of the gaps in services that I alluded to earlier when we first came on, that I think even with our community partners, there's limited amount of money that you can spend for one veteran. So if we're passing that veteran from person to person, then eventually we're right back in that gap where there are no more resources at that time. And the SFVF funds are sitting right there. You understand what I'm saying? But you won't, and when I say you, I'm not talking about you, but, you know, we don't use those funds when we have to because we want to wait until later because they may need something later. Well, I say it's just the opposite. Use the funds now, and then later, let's use the community partners to get those other things because it's easier to get food, it's easier to get clothing, furniture, and all those things, but it's not so quick to get someone to be able to stay in a safe housing place at that time when they really need it.
Let's get in one more call here before we... Thank you, Rochelle. Mm-hmm. Let's go to A.J. who's been holding. A.J., thank you.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, sir. Fine, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a question to ask. what type of benefits can a person receive through the VA if they only serve 2 months into the military and they have an honorable discharge?
Wow. Okay. Well, AJ, I'd like to get your information offline, and we'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you need my phone number offline, so to speak. Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah. I was told that you hold on, AJ, and they're gonna get your number. Okay.
Yeah, and that's not an easy answer because it has variables as far as when you served, what theater, and we'll find out all that and hook you up with whatever we can.
That's great, AJ. You hold on; they'll get your number and give it to Mark. That's great. Okay. I get Mark. Let's close it out with you.
Okay, well, again, Cliff, just really thank you and WVON and American Heroes to, again, get the word out about our services because that does make a difference. Mm-hmm. And, again, for anyone out there, I just want to reiterate those two numbers, the Community Resource Referral Center, that's 312-569-5750, and then the VA Homelessness Hotline. That's 877-424-3838. That's 877-4-AID-VET.
That's great. And normally our people would be here to give you all this information, but America's Heroes Group is located at 155 at North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250.
yes,
she's
sir.
She's here. You're here. Okay.
And please feel
our
free.
Our executive producer, Glenda, she knows I can't do this. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. And please feel free to call America's Heroes Group 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 312-803-2618. Please go to our new website, www.americaswithanshd.org. Follow us on social media, live Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and leave a comment or questions regarding your concerns. We are here for you because this is your platform to speak your truth to your voice.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. And we want to thank our panelists, of course, and always a pleasure to see Director McGill. Thank you so much. And Tracy, good information. Mike, you're great, sir.
Absolutely. I just want to throw this in there before I get ready to go. I just want to encourage all veterans that's listening and families of veterans who don't know, just come on down to the Jesse Brown VA or to the CRRC. Mm-hmm. Life-changing.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And Rochelle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so
Good.
Much.
Good. And also thanks to our producer, Isaac Taylor. Thank you, Isaac. Thanks, everybody. And everybody have a wonderful rest of the weekend and a safe one. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.